Series, I can talk maybe a little. I've got my baby voice on. We can So we've been in a series on prayer, and just a clarification from the announcement this morning. The prayer gathering is tonight. The date was right, saying next week was not right. So we hope that many of you can come and gather. We're going to have a time of worship as well, worship and prayer night. When the service is over, if we can keep these chairs set up in the center here and just put away the two sections on the end, that would be great, and we'd be very thankful for that. Oh, and thanks so much to those of you who came and cleaned up yesterday. It was such a wonderful morning. The weather was perfect. This week was great. We've been watching all the trees around the property from the beginning of the week saying, I wonder if the leaves will be down. And sure enough, they were all down, and we worked real hard, and we had a great time doing it. If you haven't participated in the spring in our community cleanup, where we clean up our community, or in the fall where we clean up our own property, you miss out. It's a wonderful time to get to know some new people. And yesterday I got to do that. I was with someone who's a little newer here and got to hear his story and his testimony. We shared a little bit about that. I don't even remember much of what we did for cleaning, but it was a great, great time. So I encourage you to do that when the opportunity comes up again. So thank you for those of you who were here yesterday. Now, prayer is not just throwing up your list of wishes to God. It's not just, throwing this hope that maybe he'll possibly listen. But that kind of desperate prayer is often where our prayer lives begin, where we throw some requests up to a God who seems a little distant from us. And last week we looked at the question, how do I pray? And the simple answer is this: go to God with shameless boldness. And if you haven't listened to the sermons yet online, the one 2 weeks ago with Ivan Preston, the one last week, it's well worth your while to go to our website and download the MP3, listen to it on your way to work or something like that around the house. It's good to have that foundation of prayer. And for those of you who are in the Hearing God seminar right now, you're going to hear a few similarities this morning to what we've been learning over the past few weeks. And if you're not in the Hearing God seminar, when we offer it again after this morning's sermon, I'm sure you'll want to and keep your ear open for that. We have a relationship with God, right? Every North American born-again believer probably knows that phrase, right? We say we don't have a religion, we have a relationship with Jesus. But sometimes that's as far as it goes in our understanding and especially in our practice. And when we pray, if we pray, it tends to be a one-way street, often for many followers of Jesus. And I want to tell you that that's only half the story, that have a dynamic, living, active relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and God the Father, you need to learn to listen in prayer. So before we even ask that question, how do I listen to God? In this, the third week of our series on the secret place, we need to ask a better question. Why can't I hear God? Why can't I hear God? The number of Christians I encounter who say, I've never heard God, I don't know what he's speaking to me, why can't I hear God? I heard a story of King Edward VII in England, and he was walking one day with the Queen, and they were out in the woods and having a wonderful walk, and the Queen sprained her ankle. And they hobbled along for some time, and it began to be dusk, and they knew they couldn't make it back into the kingdom and into the palace. So they happened upon a cottage, and they went up to the door, and they banged, and they said, open the door, it's King Edward, I need your help, you need to open it. And the man inside the cottage said, go away, it's late, I'm trying to sleep, don't bother me. And he banged again, said, it's King Edward, it's your king, you need to open the door. I'm in need of some assistance. And the guy inside, again, he was more frustrated than ever, and he said, I'm not going to come out there because I don't want your tomfoolery, or whatever they would say in Britain at that time, at this hour of night. Go away. Third time he knocked. He said, it is your king. It's King Edward. You need to help me. And this time the cottager was fed up, and he said, I'm going to come out there and teach you a lesson. And he threw open the door only to find the king and the queen. And he took them in. He sent someone for help, and help came, and the king and queen were rescued and taken back, and she was cared for. Now, years and years later, that cottager was too old and weak to work, and he used to spend a lot of his time out on his porch visiting with his neighbors. And he would often say this, it's been told. He would say, to think I almost missed meeting the king. To think I almost missed meeting the king. In Revelation 3, verse 20, a common verse some of you may know, says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Now, if you've been to a Billy Graham crusade or something like that, this verse is usually used in some sort of evangelism. The context of this is that it's written to the church of Laodicea, and it's written to people who follow Jesus, to Christians. It's not written as a verse to say Jesus is standing outside the door of everyone's heart waiting to come in. It's written to believers of whom Jesus has said, "You're lukewarm. I wish you were hot, like on fire for me, or cold. Walk away altogether." None of this lukewarm stuff. And many people in our churches today, and I've walked there, are lukewarm. We're an inch deep and a mile wide. We're lukewarm and neither hot, we're not cold. We kind of come to church. We sort of kind of read our Bible. We sort of almost pray sometimes. We're just going through the things. And we're believers, and we're Christians, and we've been made new. But Jesus stands at the door of our heart, and he knocks, and he says, "Look, if you," what? "If you listen." If you listen, that's what opens the door. "And I'll come in, and I will eat a meal as friends." What do you do when you go to a meal with friends? Do you really care where you go? Well, if you're a foodie, you do. But most of us don't really care where you go. You want to go to a place where you can get together, and you talk about how things are going, and the good and the bad, and your family, and remember about things you used to do, and have a laugh, and sometimes you have a cry. And you're more worried about that back and forth than what's actually being eaten. A close friendship is that. And that's the illustration that Jesus gives us. In fact, their earliest examples of how Christians live is in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, Luke goes through and shows us the chronology, sort of what happened as the gospel went from Jerusalem and out into the world. And what we find time and time again is we know they didn't have the New Testament. Okay, it was oral. They learned about Jesus through teaching and preaching and gathering together regularly because there was no New Testament. And they would have had the law in the Old Testament as a foundation if they were Jews. But in the Gentiles, they wouldn't have had that at all. And so it took a lot of teaching. But we find time and time again that they listened and that God led them. In fact, you can't go anywhere in the book of Acts without finding that Paul or Peter or groups of believers listened to God and were guided to do something, say something, stop something, have a strategy of how to do the church, how to run things, where to go, who to send where, who to call back, how to follow Jesus in the midst of great dispute, what decisions to make when it came to the Gentiles. Do they get circumcised? Do they not? They didn't have a book, and they didn't have church structure, and they didn't have the wisdom of those before them. How on earth did they figure this out? They listened. They learned to listen to God. We don't hear from God because we're not listening. It's not that God's not speaking, and this isn't a guilt trip. He's speaking, but we are not listening. And Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart, and he said, if you listen, the road to a deep relationship with Jesus is through listening prayer. We've all had this at times, haven't we? Where you're wondering, God, I can't hear you. How is it that these other people I think are really spiritual can hear you and know what to do, and I don't know how to do that? We've probably all had those times. I've had those times. Sometimes I still have those times. What are you saying, God? I don't understand you. But today we want to look at that. How do I listen to God? What does Jesus say about listening to God? John 10:27 says this. This is a very important verse to understand. John 10 is one of my favorite parts of all of the Gospels. The sheep listen to my voice. The sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me. It's just part of being a Christian. We're called sheep. He's the good shepherd. What do sheep do? They just listen. God is speaking all the time through his Holy Spirit, all the time, through all sorts of ways. And we can listen. We just simply choose not to. If you've decided to follow Jesus, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, I want you to consider that it is the best thing, best decision you'll ever make. Our relationship with Jesus is not static. And we don't have a religion. Okay, God doesn't give us his word and say, go do your best at following this. See you when you get to heaven, and then I'll rank you. I'll give you a little bit of a performance evaluation, and then we'll see about what rewards you get when you get in. That is not Christianity at all. We are not a religion. We're not an institution. We have a dynamic relationship with a living Father who gave us his word, which provides the parameters and the boundaries of understanding who God is and how he works, so that as we listen daily all the time and he gives us specific direction on how to live our lives, we can go and know if it's God or not. We're not meant to follow a bunch of principles, although principles are good. We're meant to follow Jesus, and Jesus is knocking at our door. And if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, you have heard God's voice. So if you're sitting there saying, I've never heard God speak, I don't think so, you're completely wrong. Let me prove it to you. When you made a decision to follow Jesus, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Was there some sort of prompting inside? You kind of felt this little bit of a nudge, like, I think I should do that. That was God. That wasn't you. That was God. When you're reading the Bible or listening to a sermon or a song, and something jumps off the page, or it feels like someone's speaking right to you, or you're looking at a devotional, and that's right for me, that's God. Whenever your heart is captured, that is the voice of God. Have you ever felt a prompting, a nudge, an urgency to do something or not do something? Something like, man, I just had to call this person. I had to go here. I had to buy this. I needed to do this. I needed to stop this. I can't explain it, but put in whatever you want there. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have heard God if you are a believer. And that hearing of God can be a daily, moment-by-moment thing. In fact, it's not that it can be. It should be. And it's yours. It's your birthright. It's the way we follow Jesus. None of this principle stuff, come to church, learn 3 points, and go out on my own and try and figure it out. I fail at that every single time. Every single time I try and follow a principle or do something on my own, I'm terrible at it. I need the leading, the strengthening, the guidance, and the relating of a friend I sit at a table with. And day in and day out, I can have a conversation and say, Jesus, what about this? What are you saying here? How do I do this? God is speaking all the time. In the Bible, how does God speak? Well, the methods in the Bible we find, audible voices, angels, dreams and visions, other phenomena, think burning bush, other people, his word, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. All of those things were active in the Old Testament. They're active in the New Testament, and it's active now. God is speaking all the time, and he can choose how he needs to speak to you. You know why? Because he knows you personally. He knows how you're made, what moves you, how you understand things, because he created you, and he's speaking all the time. But there's two primary ways I'm going to look at this morning that God speaks. There's two primary ways that God speaks. First of all, in his word, the Bible. Okay, that is the primary way. And secondly, through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, through his word. Secondly, through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is primary because it's where we get our boundaries. Okay, we can clearly know who God is and how he works. We read it. You should consume it and memorize it. It's living and active for us. But have you really listened to see what God is saying there? How do you engage with God's word? Is it, you know, I've got to get through this chapter. It's early. I'm tired. I feel guilty. I better read this. You won't get anything out of it. You won't. And when you start to engage with God's word, it might be difficult at first. But if you simply ask some good questions and go to God with God, go to his word with him there, it will transform you. You can ask things like, what do you want me to start doing? Is there something here I need to stop doing? Is there a command there for me? Is there something that you're speaking deep in my heart? Is there a promise for me? Is there something you're putting your finger on my life that I need to change? Is there a sin here? Is there something I need to confess? Is there a guidance for something coming up? The second way that God speaks is through his spirit. And that's not necessarily through an audible voice. For me, it's kind of like my voice, but it's a little underneath that. And the Bible constantly speaks of God's voice as being still and small. It's a gentle whisper. It's a nudge. Jesus did that in his teaching, too. He made it accessible to everyone that kids could understand it, but really to grasp it, you had to quiet down and think and dig a little deeper. And that's what it takes to listen to the Holy Spirit. And really, the best way to do that is to marry the two, is to go to God's Word with God's Spirit and to look in there for things that he's speaking out to you so that in the rest of the day, you know, God can say, remember that verse, remember that. Let me give you an example. John 14, 26. Here's the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. So Advocate, Helper, there's many different names. He will what? He'll teach you everything. He'll remind you of everything I've told you. John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. The Holy Spirit primarily does teaching, reminding, guiding, and he'll speak what you don't know. This isn't fortune-telling, crazy, mystical stuff. This is practical, realistic stuff. And it's not like the Holy Spirit reveals everything out your whole day. Oftentimes, for me, it's just a little prompting. So as I parent sometimes, I regularly don't know what to do. And there have been a number of times I've gone to him and I've said, here's what I think your word is telling me to do as a father. Or here's what I think your word is telling me to do as a pastor. Or here's what I think your word is telling me to do. And God will impress on me a verse or a different way to do that than I was thinking. Now, I don't know down the future. I don't know down the road. But that one thing changes everything. Another example of that in my life is, as a pastor, I visit with people. I try and give counsel. I listen. I pray with people. And I was going to visit with a particular person who was in really tough place. And I hadn't really visited with this person before. And so I prepped. I brought some scriptures and some counsel and some wisdom for this kind of situation, which is normal and good, and that's all great. And as I was driving, I just decided, you know, God, I've prepped all this, but I'm not sure I've brought you in this. Right? I'm reading your word. I'm going to direct him towards you, but is this what you want? And God gave me a question, just one question. He said, all I want you to do is ask. Tell me a little bit about yourself. And I wrestled God from the on-ramp out here all the way to where I got to, and I even pulled up close by, and I went over all my notes and verses again because I'm like, that's crazy, God. Why would you tell me to say this instead of like these verses and this wisdom and this counsel and things? And it became very evident as I met with this individual that I wouldn't make it too far with what I had planned. And so I decided to try. And so I said, hey, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? 2 hours later, God had done some wonderful things. God speaks to us. Another example of this, how he teaches and reminds and guides and shows us things we don't know. Matthew 5:13 says this, you're the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Good words, excellent words. If you read those in your quiet times, which you got to have, you need to have time alone with God, because if you don't have time alone to learn to listen to God, how on earth are you going to listen to him in your place of business or on the road when some guy cuts you off or when you're getting your hair cut and you have an opportunity to speak whoever cutting your hair in the bank line or when your kids are going nuts? You can't have your brain in that place and learn to do it. You need the quiet times. So if you read that in your quiet times, that's good, right? That's wonderful. You might think, hey, I think I should maybe witness a bit more and I should live for Jesus a little bit better. And often it just kind of ends there. Zero application, lots of brain food. Wonderful. You walk away, you feel really good. You're welcome, God, because I spent time with you. I'm a great Christian, right? That's how it often goes for a lot of us in our quiet times. But let me suggest to you there's a better way to do that. What if you went to that verse and you sat and you listened, not only then, but throughout the rest of the day, with that verse in mind, what might you be speaking to me? What if God gave you that verse specifically that day for something you would encounter that day or next week or the following month, and the Holy Spirit would bring that up and remind that of you? What if while you're reading that, a name comes to your mind and you think, whatever, I'm going to go back to God. What if that's the Holy Spirit saying, I'm prompting you in this because because I want you to do this with this person. And what if you ask the question, what's next? What do you want me to do, God? And what if he impresses on you? Or what if in the moment? There's all these what if questions. The Holy Spirit is concerned with speaking God's word to us, not so we grow up here, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up so that you, what you follow, you live, you engage, you implement, you're active. He doesn't change your behavior to change your mind. He changes your mind so he can influence your behavior in the moment. You don't read God's word, walk away, and try and apply it on your own. You read God's word and take it in your heart with you, and constantly throughout the day you can chew on it and ask, what's next, God? What would you have for me? I don't want to follow a religion. Personally, I couldn't do it. I can't come here and sit in these silly rows and do singing and all that stuff if there's not a dynamic living relationship. Okay? It's foolishness. Because it's just a book, and it's just some principles if there's not a living, active God who's speaking to us. And I want to tell you, it's not just a book, and not just a distant God. Because Jesus is knocking at our door and saying, I'm in your life, I've transformed you, but if you want that depth of relationship, you're going to need to learn to listen. How can I know it's God? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How can I know it's God? Well, there's three things you can do to know it's God. First of all is time. Number one, time. Spend time listening. Number one, spend time listening. It takes time. We've got a million voices going on. We have a conscience. We've got our own self-talk. The Holy Spirit is in there. Don't worry if it's God's voice or your voice or what does God's voice sound like. That often gets you down a rabbit trail. How you learn to discern God's voice is spending a lot of time listening and trying to act on it. So first of all, time, quiet time, time alone with your Bible, because that's God's word, okay? And that's the second thing, God's word. Whatever you think God is telling you in the middle of the day, in your quiet time, while you're at church, when you're listening to something, as you're falling asleep, whatever you think God is nudging you, it's that quiet, still, small voice, that little nudge, that little prompt. Sometimes he's just screaming at you, and it's very obvious, and it's greater than that. But you've got to take it back to God's word. God will never, ever tell you to do something contrary to his word. Sometimes he tells us to do some crazy things, you know. I know many people who have sold everything they have and gone to missions. That's crazy, but that's God, and it's a blessing, and they're seeing great things done there. But you need to take it back to God's word. God will never tell you things like, hey, I think we should live together. I think we should go and steal this thing because I think the orphanage could use the money. I think, you know, whatever it may be. He'll never tell you, I think, you know, whatever. Some sort of sinful behavior, some sort of crazy thing. He'll never say that. In your immaturity, you might think he is. Take it back to God's word. Listen with God's word. He's just not going to say that. Here's the other thing. You go to other sheep. Sheep know his voice. How do we learn to listen to God? We listen together. And you go to other believers that you respect and that you can gain wisdom from. I do that regularly. I have mentors and people I ask, and I say, hey, I think God's saying this, and I'm ready to go on this, and it seems, you know, an actionable thing in God's word. Is this the right thing for me? Let's pray together. Does that seem to be God's voice? And they can help discern with me, because I'm only one person, and I don't see everything. I got lots of blind spots. You need to spend time. You need to go back to God's word. That's why you read it regularly anyway. And then you get involved with others. You got to be connected to others. If you're not connected to 2-3 other people who are believing Christians, spirit-filled Christians, you've got to make that happen. We can't make that happen. I can't make that happen for you. We create opportunities and small groups, and we gather here together in church, and we hope that, you know, we're setting up dates with you and Jesus, and you can engage in that. We're setting up dates with you and other people, and you can make some friendships and go up for coffee, invite people over to your home and go to small groups and come and clean, and you can do all these things to build relationships, but we can't make that happen. You need each other. We need God's word, and we need time alone. You won't listen to God unless you have those things in your life. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart waiting for you to listen. Why? because that's where deep relationship comes from. Last week we looked at the reality that you don't have to be spiritual to pray. You don't have to be spiritual to pray. You need to be surrendered. You don't have to be super spiritual to be super spiritual. You simply listen. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. There you go. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. But God absolutely does. There's lots of times I have no idea. I'm faced with a situation, something comes up, and I'm at a loss. Now, I've got some principles, and I'm going back to God's word, and I'm like, I think God would want me to do this. And more often than not, that's what he's saying. He's speaking to me through his word. But there's other times he just says, yes, that's good. That's the normative. But I've got something else for you that falls within the bounds of my character. Something greater. And you won't be able to see it, but if you just do this one step, there'll be a next step and a next step. If you just say this one thing, if you just go in this one place, if you just take this posture instead of that posture, things will change. I've been learning to listen to God for a long time, and I still get it wrong. Okay? Still get it wrong because I'm human, but I listen. The best way I listen is early in the morning with lots of time. Sometimes I have some music on, a journal and a pen. I used to hate journaling. I hated journaling. It just takes so long and can't just God just like do his thing. But it slows me down and I can look back and I can write. I love journaling. God's word, a journal, sometimes a devotional. The other day I felt prompted that I shouldn't read my regular reading through the Bible. I should turn to this devotional I haven't turned to in 2 years. And by the time I got to the verse, God said, enough. Don't bother reading the rest. I just want that verse. Let's look at that verse together. And I did. And you know what? That verse came up like 2-3 times later that day through other ways. And God kind of put his finger on an area of my life. And then he put his palm, and then it was like a fist. And he's like, this is what I want you to listen to. Stop just learning. Now you got to act. Now you got to act. God is speaking all the time. I've learned through failure. Okay, so when I was in Bible college as a super spiritual Bible college student, because Bible college students know everything, right? We know everything. We're in Bible college. I told a girl God was telling us to date. Because God was telling us to date, and we dated. I hear that moan. Just wait. It gets better. Way better. After 2 weeks of realizing I didn't really like this girl, I sat with her at a McDonald's and told her, God is telling us that he wants us to break up now. Don't laugh. It's terrible. It's awful. I've done things like that. I've flipped coins. I've done stuff like, God, if you make a light come on in this building, and if it doesn't, no, I won't, and if it does, I will. I've done all that stuff, and that's immature, but God bless that, because as I learned and I looked back and I realized I wasn't listening to God's voice, I was listening to my own. He started to refine me, and there's other ways where I've listened. Now, the big stuff is obvious, so moving to Country Hills, for example, stirring in our hearts, maybe we should go one day. I'm saying yes, one day Stephanie's saying yes, one day I'm no, and we're back and forth, and I'm going to the Word and praying and considering and talking to elders and mentors and friends, finally who say yes, that this is the thing. And the confirmation came within years of being here. I just knew it was the right thing to do. But those are the big things. Do you know that God wants to do that every day with you, throughout the day, all the time? Like, we don't have our quiet time, so God checks the thing off and says, good job, pats us on the head, and we go about our day. We do it so we learn to listen in a quiet environment when the Holy Spirit can speak to us most. I've learned to quiet my thoughts. This isn't some mystical Eastern meditation. Anything in Eastern religion and things, they stole what God already implanted. Okay? We listen in order to be filled with his Spirit and his love and his character and his word of life, not just the words in the Bible, the word to us, specific things. If you follow Jesus, you know his voice. You know his voice already. You're just maybe not listening. Kids can do this. Adults, we have a hard time. Kids and teens listen to God really, really well. And as we grow, we doubt, and we put all this stuff here. If you're a believer, you can hear God. It's not mystical, it's not hokey, it's normal. Your life and relationship with God will begin begin to be different when you start to practice. Not just prayer, not just throwing up stuff, but that's a good way to start when you start to have a two-way conversation. When you open the door of your heart, and that's what stops you from being lukewarm. Stopping being lukewarm has nothing to do with more church activity and trying harder, because you've tried harder, right? You've done the whole, I'm in church and doing all the programs, and now I'm going to step back a little bit, and my relationship with others and God's a little bit cold, maybe I'll come. You've done that, right? It doesn't work. It's not supposed to work. You end being lukewarm when you spend time alone with God, and when you build lasting, authentic relationship with others that you can go to about anything and who will listen to God with you and for you. I encourage you to come tonight, 6:30. We're going to do some listening prayer. We'll worship, and we'll have a great time. We're on this journey as a church. So back to our original question. How do I listen to God? How do I listen to God? Simple. You take time to recognize his voice, and you confirm what you've heard. How do I listen to God? You take time to recognize his voice. He's speaking already. You're not doing it wrong. You just need to recognize. This isn't a guilt sermon. This is an invitation. You take time to recognize his voice, and then you confirm it. You go to his word, and you go to others, and you be sure, and then you just go. You live it. It'll change you. I promise you, if Jesus spoke this to a whole church who was lukewarm, he wants us to know this too. Would you stand as we pray? Father, the longing in our hearts is to have dynamic, real relationship with you. Teens and young adults are leaving the church in droves because they see an adult's lifeless faith. They don't see a people who is connected to you. They tend to see an institution and hypocrisy and failure. And Father, I pray that that would not be the case for us. That from the youngest to the oldest here, we would learn to hear your voice. It would dynamically change our lifeless religion into passionate relationship. That if there's any hint of being lukewarm here, you say you want to spit us out of your mouth. But if we listen, that's the way we open the door of our heart. That's the way you come into the deepest part of who we are, Jesus. And we ask that you do that. I ask for each person here that we would take the time, not out of guilt, but out of opportunity and blessing, to get up early or stay up late or go alone somewhere, to crack open your word, to listen, to write, to ask questions, to go back to your word to confirm, to go back to others, and that our lives would be dramatically different. That we wouldn't just be Christians, we would be people of the way, who moment in and moment out know what you're saying, and over time learn to follow that. Give us a wonderful week. I pray again for the Duncans and the Benbows. May they have a wonderful day. May this be a pivotal day in their life and their journey with you, Jesus. Thank you that you speak. Thank you that this isn't dead faith. Thank you that this isn't a waste of our time to gather here so we can go back and be scattered all over the city and all over the province to live out before others a living and active faith that they might know you too. Give us a wonderful afternoon. And an awesome week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. If you're able to stay for some coffee, that's great. Please stack the outside rows only, and hope to see you here 6:30 tonight. College and career students, we've got lunch downstairs around noon or 12:30. If you can set up down there, that'd be great. Lord bless you as you go.